This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello everyone, I'm Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. One aspect of the ongoing challenge to replace 100 low-lead with an unleaded fuel hasn't gotten much notice, and that's too bad because it's important. And here it is. Lycoming and Continental aren't on the same page when it comes to octane requirements for their engines. In this two-part podcast, we'll hear from both companies, but the bottom line is that Continental is pushing for early approval of a 94 UL, which is similar to 100 octane avgas, but without the lead. Here's Continental's chief engineer, Bill Brogdon.
We started our testing with 94 unleaded in August of 2008, and we've been testing in a variety of engines since then. And the purpose of the testing is to quantify what needs to be done to our engines to operate on 94 unleaded. And there are two categories to that investigation. One of them is, what do we do for future OEM engines, the engines of the future? What is the best combination of technologies to use to utilize effectively 94 unleaded fuel? And the other aspect is, what do we do about the airplanes that are in the fleet now? And there are, tens of thousands of those airplanes, some of which can operate on 94 unleaded essentially seamlessly. The 80 octane engines are certainly in that category. Perhaps even some of the 91, 96 octane engines will be there too. But certainly the 80 octane engines are that were certified on 80 octane, and 91 octane will be essentially a seamless transition to 94 unleaded.
Many of Continental's engines are certified for 80 octane fuel and will have no trouble with 94 UL. But it's not going to be so easy for higher horsepower engines with higher compression pistons.
The engines that will probably require more modifications to operate on 94 unleaded are the high performance 8.5-to-1 compression ratio engines that were certified on 100, 130 or 100 low lead fuels. I say that's a surprising thing because we expected the turbocharged engines to be more of a problem than a naturally aspirated engine. In our testing with turbocharged engines, at least on the newer turbocharged engines that we have the most experience and the most test time on, our cross-flow twin turbocharged engines, those will operate very nicely on 94 unleaded. There are a few adjustments of the calibration that may need to be made for some of the engines. Some of the engines will operate essentially without a change. There could well be some changes in the operating envelopes at high altitudes and cruise conditions that we might have a little less detonation margin there. But for the most part, the high output new turbocharged engines with two turbochargers on them will operate very nicely with just a change in calibration. The naturally aspirated 8.5-to-1 100 octane engines, there's more of an issue because those engines do detonate at maximum power on 94 unleaded fuels. Now there are a number of technical approaches that we can take to that problem. One of them is to reduce the compression ratio of the engine. There are other items like retarding the ignition timing or even getting as sophisticated as fitting knock detectors to the engine and retarding ignition timing to reduce that tendency to detonation. Those are a lot of different things that we can do. One of the issues that we are going to face in addressing the legacy fleet is, what is the economical way to approach this problem? And that's the kind of thing that we're working on right now, is developing those approaches that will provide that economy of retrofit to allow the use of the 94 unleaded. There's one interesting technical approach that we can do too that addresses some of the issues that you have with a reduced compression ratio. Reduced compression ratio means reduced power. And we're talking about reduced power in the range of 4%. And what can be done is that an airplane that has, for instance, an IO520BB in it, which would be a Beach Bonanza, we could take out the 520BB and put in an IO550B, a larger displacement engine, that we have the compression ratio reduced, and you will gain back all of that power that you lost in the compression ratio reduction with the increase in engine displacement. Now, that kind of strategy can work in a number of places too. For instance, 470 engines that went into so many Cessna 182s can be converted to an IO520 or an O520 and gain back any a loss in power there. Now, most of those 470s were 80-octane engines to start with, but we did have a number of 0470Us in Cessna 182s that were 8.5-to-1 compression ratio, 100-octane engines. So there's the real point here is that there is a wide range of technical things that we can do to operate these engines on 94 unleaded, and our task is going to be to provide the approaches that allow an economical transition to the 94 unleaded.
Of course, any fuel that will replace 100 low-lead needs to grind its way through the ASTM approval process, and although we haven't heard much about that for 94UL, the approvals are in the works.
The approval process for 94 unleaded has been going on for some time now, and that's within the ASTM, which is a body that provides standards for a wide variety of products and formulations. And we have been working with the ASTM for at least 2 years now on a specification for an unleaded fuel. And through ASTM and through other bodies such as CRC, the Coordinating Research Council, and working with FAA and oil industry, within the ASTM and the CRC, we developed a specification for the unleaded fuel. Now, there were a number of things that needed to be considered in this, and it's certainly much more than octane. There are a number of technical things about aviation fuels that are really important. Certainly one of them is materials compatibility. You don't want to have issues with your new fuel swelling the elastomers in your engine or your airplane. You want to have a vapor pressure such that the vapor pressure is low enough so that when you go to altitude, the fuel does not boil in the airplane's tanks. And all of those issues came together in the consideration of what we would do. And the solution that we came up with that addresses almost everything that we need to is essentially taking the lead out of 100 low lead and adding a higher percentage of certain components of aviation gasolines to increase the economic octane of the fuel as much as is feasible. And the agreement was that 94 octane was about what you could achieve and stay within the economies of refineries and that kind of thing. So, and the big benefit of doing it in this manner is that we have essentially addressed all of the non-octane issues of aviation fuels, that we don't have constituents in the fuel that are going to cause it to swell, or vapor pressures that are going to cause vapor lock or boiling in tanks, or cavitation at the inlet of pumps, and all the other things that can happen in fuels. On a timeline for the adoption of an unleaded fuel, we are well along the way with 94 unleaded right now in the ASTM process and in our development. What we expect to happen is over something like the next 2 years, we'll be doing further developments of the engines to address the lower octane of 94 unleaded. And In that time frame, we'll be working with the ASTM towards getting those approvals.
Lycoming has a different view and believes a 100-octane fuel is the only realistic choice. For more on that, see the companion podcast in the AvWeb podcast section. For a complete report, see the July 2010 issue of Aviation Consumer. I'm Paul Bertarelli. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.